Blog Talk Radio.
Earthman Lanny Smith here with a word about the planet. You know, in every part of the world, people are playing the sustainable world game in many different ways. Priority one is the climate challenge. This is the one game we will all win or we will all lose. We're learning how to create a sustainable future with loving hands, hearts, and minds. This week on No Small Gain, learn how you can play with acts of kindness, service, and compassion and action in your part of the world. Tune in on Thursday, August 10th at 11 a.m. Eastern on Soul Purpose Healing Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to No Small Gain. Beth, your mic is open. Thank you for joining us today. Beth and Annabeth here today as your host and co-host. Welcome, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Beata. Maribeth, are you on? Annabeth, if you press one. But anyway, this is our one-year anniversary. Is interesting. We began with this show, No Small Gain, last August, And we're excited to be here. We've made a year. Excited with the guest that we'll have on. Annabeth, are you with me?
I am here.
Oh, hello. It's been a while. Yes, indeed. You have to catch me up. We celebrated in May because it was No Small Gain 1 year anniversary, and that I began on the teleconference. So it was on Cinco de Mayo last year, we began this teleconference call that we moved over to Blog Talk this year. I mean, well, a year ago. Annabeth, why don't you share what has been happening since we saw each other? I'm so happy we were able to celebrate that in May because you were here in the U.S. So just kind of catch me up briefly on what's been happening.
Well, I've been in Spain for the past couple of months and enjoying connecting with the earth here. Real important for me. That's a lot of why I'm here. And I've had visitors come over, and we've taken journeys of connecting and healing the earth. We've gone into caves here. There are a lot of caves in the mountains that were dug out by the Moors centuries ago, and they're a great way to connect with the earth and do prayer and healing of the earth in that way. And I continue to work with people over Skype, people in the U.S., and I'll actually be back in the fall to continue to work with people there, yeah. And so I'm just excited about being here and about starting to invite people here to share with me the healing that can happen over here, because it seems there are different places in the world where there are different types of healing that are needed. And so this is kind of my place right now to be doing it, and I support everybody to do whatever kind of positive visualization and prayer and energy work you can for wherever you are in the earth, whatever places of nature can use it. And it also helps us to connect with the earth, with ourselves, and with our oneness with everyone and with the earth, which brings me to, I just want to mention a little bit about what the overall themes for the past year of No Small Gain have been focused a lot on climate change, on people coming together in lots of different incredible organizations to bring their communities to a higher level of consciousness about the planet's needs, whether it be climate change or other needs that are environmental, and also social justice issues, as we are all one family, and it's so helpful for us to learn and understand more about the issues of people coming from different cultural backgrounds so that we can really grasp our connectivity, our differences, and our sameness, and understand each other and have more compassion for each other and for ourselves. So those have kind of been the overall themes, and the people we have had on these shows, these guests have been so cutting edge, brilliant leaders, and have introduced their organizations, which I am just floored every time I hear about the organizations and the people who lead them and who have founded them. So we'll have some of that today, more of that today.
Yeah.
And I think it's important we recognize that these new organizations are kind of like a paradigm shift. They're changing the ways that we think and we act individually and collectively. And I'm always surprised to see that some of these organizations are really going strong. I mean, they're all going strong. And it's so impressive that they are becoming a new way of being. Mm. So today we're entering a whole new area, which is the new concept of games. It seems like there's a paradigm shift that is happening, finally, from a competitive model to a cooperative model of humans interacting as groups and as individuals. Actually, one of the guests today, the organization uses the term co-opetition instead of competition. And that's a Compassion Games International. And I think the idea is that we're coming to a place in human history where we're starting to recognize that win-win for the common good is what we need to be focusing on. And that the paradigm of competition where somebody can win and somebody can lose, whether it's in business or any other arena, is becoming an old model. So
yes.
Our guests are all about that, the guests that we have today. And I think we'll go ahead and start introducing Sue Blythe, who is from the Florida Earth Charter Initiative. And Sue is one of the core people who supports and creates this program. So we're very grateful to you, Sue. And would you like to go ahead, if you're on the line, would you like to go ahead and introduce the Sustainable World Games to us? Are you there, Sue?
I need to have Sue press one because we have a few callers on here. So if Sue's on the, there you go. Thank you, Sue.
Thank
open,
you.
Your mic is open.
Well, it's wonderful to be here with you today. And my goodness, I so appreciate that introduction to this wonderful moment that we're in. It's just so exciting to me to be able to invite some of the people I've been getting to know to come here and share with you what is going on, because it's just marvelous. But the Florida Earth Charter Initiative is something I've been working on for several years out of the Sustainable Living Center in Hampton, and that's with the Florida Coalition for Peace and Justice that has a long history from 1982 of being a group that takes a stand and makes a difference. And they started back in the early days with nuclear issues and kind of got away from that. But my goodness, here we come again. So we have a lot of history that we can bring and a lot of organizing that's been done over the years. So the beautiful thing about this organization is it is composed of lots of individuals and organizations that are working on all of the issues. It doesn't matter what environmental or social problem you name. There are millions of people all over the world, and then so many right here in Florida that are working on those issues. And the reason that we like to put it in terms of the Earth Charter, which is an document that was launched in the year 2000. It is a statement of ethical issues that really, in such almost poetic language, shows us that we are working on these things together. I guess my big turning point in my life was seeing that blue marble, the Earth from space, and it just was a transformative moment for me, and I've been watching how we are coming to recognize our oneness on this planet and that we have a job to do to take care of ourselves. So I would like to introduce my friend Summer Joy Albertson, who is here with us today, and she is working with the Compassion Games, and so what I'd like to do is just let Summer talk about the Compassion Games a little bit, and then we'll see where we go from there.
All right, Summer, would you press one? Are you on, Summer? Press one. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Hello. I'm good. It feels fabulous to be here. I feel like I'm in the right place.
Yes, we're so happy to have you on. Yeah, so thank you, Sue, for the great introduction. Yes, and Summer, tell us more about what's going on.
Well, yeah, I mean, for what you were speaking of, I think it was Beth talking about co-opetition and that this paradigm shift of how it's getting more about
collaboration and ways we can really work together. And that's really what the Compassion Games is about. You know, competition, the root word of competition is actually competere, which means striving together. And the Compassion Games is an experience of that, where there are individuals and teams, we say, as kind of the Olympics of compassion and action and service, an experience for individuals and teams all over the world to really, you know, up their game, as we could say, around the heart. And so we actually have a co-opetition that unfolds here. We're pre-games at the moment in September, from September 9th to September 24th, so 16 days, the games are on. And there is this compassion report map that if you were to click onto it on our website, it's the world, and you see these dots all over the world of different actions of compassion. And then on the right side of the report map, I wish I could visually show it to you as we're speaking. It's so much more, it's such an amazing thing to see, because there are over 5 million people that have been served through the Compassion Games and in over 60 countries participating in this all together. And on the right, it's a gallery view of wherever you were to click on the planet and see different experiences, images, and you can click directly into any report and really see the reflections of these different experiences of compassion, which could be simply, you know, picking up garbage off the streets. We've had amazing stories. Some of my favorites are hookers and nuns cleaning up the streets. I think that was actually in Spain, where I think, is it Beth? You're in Spain right now?
Is that right? Annabeth. Yeah. Yep, I am in
Spain.
Where did that happen?
I don't remember specifically what city, but it was in Spain. In California, a women's prison that reported during the 11 days, at the time it was 11, not 16. It was the first 11 days of no violence reported. And in California, just incredible stories. And, you know, it really is that experience of the paradigm of the fact that, like, there really is no such thing as anyone losing. You know, if my team, I'm in Seattle, Washington, we're participating and experiencing, it is helping a team in Spain. It's helping all of us. It really is a collective experience of many people striving together. So we talk about 3D compassion. So there's compassion for self, compassion for others, and compassion for the earth. So, and then we have this scoreboard. So we have a metric. So that's where it gets really into the game experience of, like, the actions and what we're doing and how we're being compassionate for one another and the earth. And it's being placed into a metrics on that report map. So we track the pulse, I'd like to say, of these different experiences by how many volunteers, how many people and animals, too, served, how many hours of service, and also money raised for local global cause. So that, over those 16 days, imagine really taking that pulse and the metrics of different experiences of compassion happening all together, and you get to see the metrics of all the teams and players on a global scoreboard. So that's really, you know, that's the flavor of Compassion Games, the overall picture of it. So I don't know how much time I specifically have, but I just wanted to share that. I could keep going all day talking about the Compassion Games, but just want to be respectful of others. So. Hello?
This is Annabeth. I want to let our listeners know that they can go to this incredible website. It is so much fun, and there's so much on this site. It's called compassiongames.org, Okay, CompassionGames.org, really simple. And it's just, it's a trip. It's like for kids, for adults, it's just got this really playful vibe to it. And yeah, you can see all the different things that are going on. And the sense I get is that as more people, there are lots of people who are already doing this kind of thing, doing these kinds of actions. And the more people realize that this is a site where they can kind of log in and put their actions on here, the stronger of a movement I think it becomes.
That's
right. And I love the statement. What is it? What's that statement that you all have? Survival of the kindest.
Yeah.
It's like
yes.
The logo, kind of. Very cool.
We're very much, yeah, about reframes, you know. I mean, I think that competition has a heavy duty. It has an unfortunate sort of story attached to it. So we're, you know, trying to help liberate that old story, the competition model, as Annabeth was speaking about earlier, of the fact that, you know, if someone's going to win, then someone else is losing, which just isn't true. It's not true in the compassion games, and it's really not true in the world. So there really is this other shift that's happening around supporting each other. And we talk about also celebrating not just our team's efforts, like the team that maybe I'm participating in, but how we can really create a we space. You know, how do we actually do that where we can celebrate many people and teams and, you know, organizations all over the world doing great things? So another layer context of that, how we approach that is we have a compassion torch. So like the Olympics, you know, pre-games, they're traveling around with the Olympic torch. We have the compassion torch, and we honor champions of compassion that are really out there doing great work and, you know, honoring these super teams, we call them, the teams that really are in many places all over the world doing great work right there, you know, in their communities. So that's another layer, is we're honoring and bringing, amplifying the good that's happening all over the world. And it really isn't about us, like the leaders of the Compassion Games, and making sure everything works. It's really the people and the teams that are out there doing that really creates the experience and creates that field of a supportive celebration, like global celebration of compassion. So, and this next upcoming co-opetition, I hope that all of you that are listening are already wanting to sign up and get going, because it's a great time to, you know, think about. September is not far away, but the whole theme is, it's called the Global Unity Games, Building Bridges for Peace, Prosperity, and the Planet. And, you know, that's what we're talking about. You know, building bridges is a co-opetition. It is, you know, how can we build more bridges and where there is, unfortunately, the other, and where the model of thinking is still in that competition that, you know, more that, you know, people want to gain more from another, that this is an opportunity that people can, you know, raise the consciousness and celebrate each other. So it's really exciting what we have going on. So
Another aspect of that I find really interesting is that you're talking about the individual for others, and also for the earth. And so often we find that people are either focused on taking care of themselves and they're not really interested in looking much beyond themselves, or we find that people are taking care of the planet, but they're being really self-sacrificial.
Yeah,
so
right.
This brings together the myself, the other, and the planet in a way that I think will challenge people to think on those three levels, which I think is kind of new in a sense.
Mm-hmm. I'm really glad that you brought that up too, because there is the unfortunateness of people that seem to not be in balance or, you know, serving in a way that's whole and complete and that's actually nourishing, you know, the soul and there's, you know, that I think it's back to that same model though of like, if I'm caring for the earth and I can't care for myself, or if I'm in service for my community, I have to let go of you know, caring for the earth. But why not that everything that we're doing is nourishing all parts? You know, how can we think in that way that is supporting the whole, you know, the whole person, and also the wholeness of the earth and collective, you know, and it is, I mean, every time these co-opetitions, I've been working with the games for over a couple of years, and it really has been the biggest blessing in my life. It was finally like one of those opportunities of work and calling that is like, this is why I'm here on the planet in this lifetime. Like, this is exactly what I want to be doing with my life. I think that there's a lot of different ways that we can easily put our focus. You know, there's a lot of things right now that can like fill up our news feeds about our fears, our biggest fears, you know, especially as someone brought up earlier about the nuclear war. There's a lot of things to be afraid of. But I think there's a great opportunity and choice to empower our thoughts and empower our actions into doing something that is positive and helping us move away from those fears and transmute those fears. I mean, we can't just close our eyes and not admit that there's horrible things going on the planet and that there are leaders in the world that are coming from a very different mindset, but that doesn't mean that we and what we're doing, that it doesn't impact them as well and impact the world. So this is one of those experiences that I really, truly will say is nourishing on all levels and really can be. Yeah.
Well, this is Sue. I would like to add a few words from the Earth Charter at this point, because this is where what we're talking about is so elegantly and poetically expressed in this document. And what you've just been talking about here is in Principle 16F, I'll have you know. And it says that we recognize that peace is the wholeness created by right relationships with oneself, other persons, other cultures, other life, earth, and the larger whole of which all are a part. And so that's what we're seeking, is that balance and wholeness, wellness, that is where we're headed, I think. I'd like to just read the introduction. It's called the Preamble of the Earth Charter. And it says, "We stand at a critical moment in Earth's history, a time when humanity must choose its future. As the world becomes increasingly interdependent and fragile, the future at once holds great peril and great promise. To move forward, we must recognize that in the midst of the magnificent diversity of cultures and life forms, we are one human family and one Earth community with a common destiny. We must join together to bring forth a sustainable global society founded on respect for nature, universal human rights, economic justice, and a culture of peace. Towards this end, it is imperative that we, the peoples of Earth, declare our responsibility to one another, to the greater community of life, and to future generations." And so that's what we're about, is trying to find a way to pull together all of these many, many wonderful organizations that are working in these areas. And the Earth Charter says every individual, family, organization, and community has a vital role to play. The arts, sciences, religion, educational institutions, media, businesses, non-governmental organizations, and governments are all called to offer creative leadership. And so what we are looking at is how to show what people are doing and how anyone who wants to get on board can play this sustainable world game, because we've got some work to do. It's going to take all of us, and that's why I'm so delighted to work with Summer and the Compassion Games and Earthman and all this going on here. In fact, I think that Earthman Lanny Smith is probably on the line. This might be a good to bring him in now.
I wish we could see him. It's like, you know, Earthman. I don't know if Annabeth and Beth, our listeners, have been able to see him in his Earth suit, but it's really fun and powerful.
I think only a picture, but we are looking forward to meeting all of our guests. That's something that Sue and I spoke about. We will get a chance. Hopefully, I am excited about everything you're doing. I just found it amazing. And then I had people calling and, just the feedback received from these shows that I just went ahead and had more than I really intended from in the beginning, and just focusing on this issue because I've come to that awareness when we have people caring for our earth, tending to the earth, I think a lot of the other issues we deal with will be resolved, because they'll be, as you said, more compassionate, more aware. When we're not hurting the planet, the animals, we're going to care for human life. I would, consider that we have that awareness, because right now we see what's happening. It's like, this breakdown of our society, of our humanity. And I'm not sure if you are aware, Summer, but I hold monthly vigils to raise awareness about economic exploitation, complex childhood trauma, and human trafficking. So I work with the former head of the National Trafficking in America Task Force, and I also met the current president. I was in Central Florida about a couple of weeks ago for an affair with them, and so it was great to meet quite a number of people. And so I'm thinking to myself, that's probably where we will try to come together, meeting all the guests that have been on, particularly dealing with this issue. So I'm looking forward to those one-on-one meetings. Have to, I guess, try to work it around when Annabeth, too, is here. Annabeth, I would love for you to be a part of this.
Well, I expect to be in South Florida a good part of the fall. So that's
okay.
Possible if that's, but after, I don't know how quickly you can get that together, that people can get their schedules together.
That'd
definitely. Yeah. And Beth,
yeah.
let me add also that, this is Sue again, that the working with Earthman Lanny Smith, who I believe is waiting to call in here, if you can identify his email or his phone number, that I guess all he has to do is press a 1. Is that correct?
Yeah, just press 1. So how many guests do we have today?
Okay, I'm sorry, I have not spoken to that. What's happened is I invited 4 people to come and speak, 5 people to come and speak. Several of them have not been able to come for various reasons. I do have had a long talk with a friend named Jane G., with Spring Bay Studio, who is a game developer, and we had information. She may actually be on now as well. Jane, if you are on, can you press 1?
I will be right back.
And
okay. Those that have pressed 1, Jane, is that the name? Did you think, too?
He said
well,
Jane G.
Jane G is possibly. What's happened is all of these other people that I invited had other things come up. One was health related, one is internet related, and one is responsibility related. So that was an unexpected training that they had to do. So
yeah.
we are kind of on our own here, but I do have stories to tell about each of these people. And so it's JG with the Spring Bay. We have Amy Davis Bruner with the World Game, and then Walter and Kitty Drew, who are here in Florida with the Institute for Self-Active Education. Of course, our friend Earthman Lanny Smith from the Earthman Project.
All right. And so is Jane G on, Jane? I guess not yet. Is Lanny?
Yes.
Lanny? Who's on? Please press 1. Hello.
Well,
what now?
Okay.
Let me just
go ahead. Sue, do you mind if I just step in and say something about Jane G? Because I just discovered her work. And I would just like to say, and I want to hear more from you about it, but I just want to let listeners know that the website is Spring Bay Studio. It's just the way it sounds, spring, like SpringBay studio.com. And she has created, Jane G has created these beautiful educational video games that are designed to raise environmental awareness. And they're for children, they're for adults, they're for teachers, they're to bring into classrooms. They're gorgeous. And there are different themes. One's for the ocean, another for wetlands. There's several of them, and she's got more coming. So I just wanted to say I am in love with this site. I'm in love with everybody's sites today. I was just like studying all these sites, and I got them all mixed up because they all tend to be focused towards the same amazing goals. So I have to keep them really clear in my head. The graphics, the design, I mean, it's just so beautiful, and you can just see that if we can share these with more children, with more adults, with more communities and classes, it's just such a happy way for people to start increasing their awareness and collaborate. Again, there's, you know, the cooperative aspect. So I just wanted to give my excitement, share my excitement about that. And then, sure, Sue, go ahead and tell us more about it.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you that I learned about JG and Spring Bay Studio at about the time that I had, let's see, I'm going back, the year is 2014, and we were, the Great March for Climate Action was going across the United States of America, and they went from, it was about 40 people that walked every step of the way from Los Angeles to Washington, D.C., and they joined in to the People's Climate March in New York City. And so they were doing their little bit in what has become a huge global movement for the climate. But their little bit involved going to more than 300 cities and towns talking about climate issues, you know, the challenge and what we can do. And that actually is where I met Earthman Lanny Smith, who had, was doing concerts along the Climate March route. And Dave Finnegan, I should add, with his Climate Change is Elementary. So these are men that go into schools with educational programs for about the climate and doing things in schools and communities. So what I took was, okay, we have this thing happening. We have kids who love to play games. We have a program that I had just recently, before that, pilot tested at a middle school in Gainesville, Florida. And I thought, okay, so let's make a game. And I went to after-school club of game makers in a middle school. It's affiliated with the University of Florida College of Education. And so we set up this six-week after-school program to play the climate challenge. And what happened is I introduced the kids. There were about six boys that did this with us. And I showed them Earthman Lanny Smith's Climate Challenge Jam, and then the Earthman himself Skyped in, and we had a talk about, what this climate challenge is. And by the way, these kids had never heard of climate change. They knew that global warming was something that was happening, but climate change was a brand new concept to them. And so Earthman helped them to understand what this was, and I had come to say, so how can we make this into a game? And what we did was develop a climate Jeopardy game so that the kids were creating their own questions, and we did quite a bit with that, and we've worked with other kids since then. But we have a Jeopardy game. It's kind of in its neonatal stage, but it works. And we've been into a classroom of sixth and seventh graders to play this game. And I remember the teacher at that class that told us afterwards that you hardly ever get to see 100% of the students 100% engaged in a game. But they were for the whole time. It was just incredible. And so that is the spirit that I bring to this and why I'm so thrilled to find the Compassion Games that's doing it on a really large and meaningful level, not just one classroom at a time, but you're working all over the world. And so I saw Jane G. at that point after we had had those experiences. And told her, okay, we've got this thing, and we want to make it into a game. I saw that she had a game called Balance, which you can also see at springbaystudio.com. And the Balance game is where the earth is spinning, and as it goes by, you have to click, 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 and raise the level. In my mind, it's the level of sustainability on issues like energy and education and economics and making the world sustainable. And so it's got a scorekeeping, and when you get all your different categories into the highest level, which is 4, then ta-da, you've won the Balance game. So I loved this concept and said, hey, I've got an Earth Charter with 16 principles, and I would like to have a little icon for each of those to show how we're doing on the 16 principles of the Earth Charter. Could you build that? And she said, sure. And so we've got an actual written up, it's called the Interactive Content Design, that she put together 3 years ago that I've been kind of adding to as I meet people like Summer with the Compassion Games and others that I'll talk about in a minute here, that it's changing. It's becoming real. It's becoming huge and important. And so I have a recording that I got from Jane yesterday that is so clear, and I'm going to make it available on our futureflashproject.org website, because we're playing the Future Flash Climate Challenge and the Sustainable World Game.
Okay, beautiful. Before we take a break, I just want to be sure, is Jane G. on the line? If so, to press 1. Is anyone on the line who's press 1? Okay, well, let's take this break, and we'll be back.
He's at a family reunion today.
Children are a gift from the stars, and this Sunday, author Yvonne Williams will be our guest on Soul Purpose Healing in the first of a series titled Understanding Your Child's Motivational Gift. Yvonne Williams is a powerful voice for cultural change in America, and she has written a wonderful series of children's books addressing the motivational gifts that are found in Romans 12, verses 6 through 8. Yvonne will be discussing how parents and adults can recognize their children's gifts and help them to thrive. So join us this Sunday, March 12th, and every second Sunday of the month for Wisdom with Yvonne on Soul Purpose Healing Blog Talk Radio. That's 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Okay, we're back. Okay. First of all, I was so surprised by that one. But
that's
it is
wild.
The first Sunday. Yeah, but I have to make that correction. I was, you know, really surprised with that one. But it is the third Sunday, which is August 20th. It's on the third Sunday at 8 p.m. It's just standard time. Same number to call in at the Best Gift Journal. So be prepared. You want to take some notes, but we look forward to having you back on. So who do we have on? Press one. Who do we have? Sue, I'll let you continue with the introductions.
Hi. Can you hear me? This is Lanny Smith.
Yes. Hi, Lanny.
Okay. I've actually been on here listening the entire time. I just wasn't able to get through, but I'm glad to be here with you all now.
Aww.
Thank you for all the good work everybody is doing.
Hi, Lanny.
Yes.
Hi,
so happy.
Summer and Sue and everybody out there. It's so exciting to listen to and to hear again what everybody is doing with their power to make a difference. Very important, and I just want to ask all your listeners to really focus in, you know, especially right now on meditating, on praying, whatever journey you take on peaceful, creating peaceful solutions on this planet right now, especially with the intensity of what is happening in North Korea and with our country and with all the folks in the middle. I believe in the power of prayer and of intention, and I think we can help make a difference by just focusing in on it and sending as much love as possible.
Yes, indeed. It's so good to hear your voice and knowing that you're back with us. So you are doing a wonderful work, and I find it very interesting. Sue said you met 2014. Wow, that was a very good year. Meeting a number of people with the same, mindset, wanting to see the change and be that change that we want to see, as they say. And so, Lynn, do you want to give us an update from the last time you were on?
Well, there are masses of people with the same intention, whether they are acting on it or even aware of it or not. It is within us all to want to create a more peaceful world and more loving world. That is our nature as brothers and sisters living on this planet. And so we just have to help folks recover that simplicity in their hearts, recover that love that gets buried up with all the mountains of stuff that we go through in our lives. But it's still there within us all, I believe. And So we wake it up, and that's why my outreach uses music in the arts as a strategic tool to reach hearts and delve in there to the place where that love exists, and then help crank open that space so that that light can come shining out. And it's like a river, and once it starts to rise in the flow, it's really unstoppable. It breaks through everything. So been focused on doing that, both in Nashville the last couple of years, and now as an artist in residence here at the North Florida Sustainable Living Center, where Sue, who's on the phone with us, is about 50 yards or maybe less in her house from where my wife and I are, in the eco house that was built here about 7 years ago. And I look out my window and there are butterflies and land and a whole swarm of peace-loving mosquitoes. And yes, they're peace-loving. They want a piece of me when I go outside. So and so we're here and we're getting organized and we're setting an intention and people are starting to come. It's like the field of dreams. You build it and they will come. Well, we're opening our eyes and seeing that people are starting to come and find this incredible space here with all this land and a teaching center and love and compassion. And so that's where I'm at. I've been definitely continuing my activism. I was trained by Al Gore as a climate reality leader. I'm not sure when I was on last time, so I want to overcome that. So, so it's all been good. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. All right. And Sue, do we have Jane G on yet? I'm asking. Jane, if you're on, would you press one?
Yeah, Jane probably is not in a place where she has a good connection.
I think
that was the issue, because she's sort of out in some wilderness area. And but we could go ahead and also at this point we could introduce the work of the World Game, which is another major game site and activity. The person who was going to be on the show but who can't make it on as well today, Amy Davis Bruner, she is part of the Erickson Coaching International. And that site, for anybody who wants to check it out, because it's also really, really interesting, it's erickson.edu. So that's erickson.edu. And it seems, now I want to hear from Sue, I want to really understand how this works, but my impression is that this is a site or an organization where people make commitments and plan to be of service, and there's a coaching support component to help people get to achieve their goals in being of service for the planet and for humanity. And so, Sue, can you help me understand this better? It sounds incredible.
It is incredible and wonderful. So I've also had a wonderful talk yesterday with Amy and got a really nice recording, and I'm so, so sorry we couldn't get it translated into the right format so we could hear it today. But I will have it on my futureflashproject.org website later today, so your listeners can tune into that, because it's really wonderful. So what's happened is Lanny and I started talking. Actually, I'm going to take a step back to conference that I attended in 2015, and this is called Imagining Climate Change, and it was at the University of Florida. And it is a department, it's from the English department, where they're using literary forms for imagining climate change. And this theme has gone now into the College of Journalism and many others for, that are imagining climate change at the University of Florida. So I attended that and made a connection with a woman who does the Sustainable Floridians course through the Cooperative Extension Service. And she said that she would very much like to work with us on this idea of imagining a time when the world has accepted the goals of the Earth Charter, and we are working together in a unified and strong way toward making a sustainable, just, and peaceful future. And so we've been working on that, Lanny and I and many others from interfaith groups and climate groups, and just an amazing parade of people have been involved in this. But we have designed a kind of a program that doesn't exist yet, but it is in the works, and it is pretty amazing to play the sustainable world game and just find a way to put it all together so that we can use the Earth Charter as a guide for making the change we want to see in the world. Okay, so we started talking with people at Florida Gulf Coast University, which is an Earth Charter affiliate. And Mary Walsh actually came to Gainesville, where we had a program where she told about the digital storytelling program that she does with students there, who take the Earth Charter principles, go out into the community and listen and create a little digital story. So we have been finding other people who do that kind of work. We have, I think our last show with the Soul Purpose Healing was about the storytelling pieces. And so that's a wonderful part of our sustainable world game. Now, when we were trying to, I learned about the, oh, I know how it happened. I came across on a website somewhere, who wants to play the world game? Who wants to play the world game? And I said, I do. And so I answered an email and started talking with this woman, Amy Davis Bruner. And she heard what we were up to in Florida and said, my goodness, I think that we need to do a world game conference in Florida. And so we started with one at the University of Florida, realized, well, we need to have Florida Gulf Coast as well. And then the coordinator of the Sustainable Floridian says, but wait a minute, let's not just do it at two, let's do it at four. And so the plan is, or the hope is, that we will have four sustainable world training conferences in Florida during this next school year. And we would we have registered now as a super team on the Compassion Games as the Sustainable World Games. So as we develop these four conferences with four universities and hopefully the schools that they and communities that they serve, we have a way to really put something important together. So yesterday I was talking about how this would work, and Amy said, well, suppose that you, with the Sustainable World Game, just put this all together as one proposal that could be offered as one of many that are offered at world game conferences all over the world. And so it's that's kind of where we are. We're going to be putting together a proposal to see if we can't get all these people pieces you know, developed well enough so that it's clear how it works to use the Earth Charter as our base to work with Earth Charter International and the youth Network. We have a commitment from Christine Lacayo, who is the coordinator of the Earth Charter Youth Network, to assist with the Sustainable World Game any way she can. So we have all these wonderful, wonderful pieces in place ready to go. And so once we get our proposal to these World Games, then what happens is they do a training conference, and hopefully we'll have them in these four parts of Florida. And each team there would then make a commitment, set a goal of what they want to do. And the World Game coaches then assign one coach for each team. So I'm thinking Summer with the Compassion Games would be able to work with us on a team with, say, Florida Gulf Coast University that is committed to doing one class with the Earth Charter International youth this year. And Compassion Wonderful. Games. So that's where
Sounds
we
good.
Are.
Game on, Sue. Game on. Let's do it.
Let's do it. It's already done, I think. That's the way it works. You just find the right people, and the willingness is there. Who was it? Amy was telling me yesterday, you know, if it's right, the earth says yes, the people say yes, you know, the universe says yes, let's do this thing. And Lanny, I would love for you to share your story at this point about that kind of yes.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you can. Universe says
back
yes.
Back in the 1974, I met Jimmy Carter at a conference, and I got to know him and to listen to him and studied what he stood for and a lot of the things that he believed at that time I believed in. So I volunteered to work for him, and he would fly into Miami to go to home parties where there were 30 people in a backyard. And so I'd pick him up in my little Datsun B210, and I'd drive him to one party and drive him to another and then take him back to the airport. And after, you know, a while, because I was doing this with him a lot, we got into some, you know, very deep conversations. And I asked him how he could believe that he could be president of the United States with 30 people in a backyard. And what he told me really has given me strength through all the different times in this struggle, in this movement. And that is, he said, if the time is right and you speak the truth, all is possible. And 2 years later, I was I was with the family on election night when he was elected president of the United States. So those words, I know that we speak the truth, and I believe that the time is right. And despite whatever setbacks seem to be out there, we are definitely, with the technology, on the course of being able to provide renewable energy at as cheap a rate, cheaper than the cost of fossil fuels right now. So it's a matter of going forward. But, you know, when we know that we speak the truth, and the time will come to us as we continue, all of us, to walk in a direction of peace.
Thank you so much. Beautiful. Very interesting. Meeting the president, a couple of years before he became the president.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. So, you should have a book. You've had some very interesting experiences.
My book
Danny,
and my
are you
song. Going to
be the next president? the next president?
Well, the next resident, how about that?
Okay.
Yeah, you know, everybody has their gifts, and my gifts are in music and saying things through my songs and helping to organize and work with people and to teach, to inspire, especially young people, to use their gifts to become part of the solution to the challenges we face. There's no greater personal satisfaction than to individually and then collectively with others create a positive outcome to a problem that needs to be solved.
Amen. Yeah.
Well, I also think that quote from Jimmy Carter, I wrote that down. I really thank you for sharing that. I think it's so cool. If you speak, it was something like this. Correct me. I just want to make sure I got it right. If you speak the truth and the time is right, then something.
All is possible.
Then all is possible. I mean, it's beautiful. It's just so great for us to remember, because the key there is that the truth has to be spoken at the time when it's right. And that the time needs to be right when we speak the truth. And that's the part that if we pay attention to that, that's where the creativity, there's an open door for that creativity to be productive, where the support and the resources are available. I think that's how I interpret that statement. So that's really good for us to keep in mind in general when we're doing our work.
That's right.
And you have to understand that time is relative. So, you know, something like the civil rights movement, time could be, you know, hundreds of years in moving out of slavery, moving into freeing one's soul of the self-built slavery that we all carry around with us. So you have long purposes of time, and then you have short purposes of time, like, you know, like today, you know, like, you know, what's going on in overseas. So and here. So, you know, but speaking the truth, time will come, because truth, somebody said history always in the end bends towards justice and truth. So we are journeying however long it takes. We are speaking the truth, and time will envelop that.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
So,
Annabeth,
I was going to go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Annabeth.
Well, I think maybe it's time for us to introduce our last absent guests, Walter and Kitty Drew, who are also not able to make it to be with us today, but they're from the Institute for Self-Active Education, and that is oriented towards it's like everything we've been talking about has been really big picture, different groups organizing towards the greater picture, the greater future, working on a national, international, organizational layers or levels. What's different about it appears to me that what is different about what's happening at the Institute for Self-Active Education is that this is about us learning as individuals and as organizations how to return to the concept of play and to learn to be spontaneous in play, to use play in everything else that we do. And I mean, this is just absolutely lovely, because, of course, our lives are all going to be much better the more we learn how to play, and our contribution becomes better because we come from a more creative place and a place more of being in the present. So I like one of the quotes on their site that play spaces are more than safe. They are holy. I think that's so beautiful. Play spaces are more than safe. They are holy. And I would like to ask Sue again to go ahead and explain more about the work that Walter and Kitty Drew are doing. Are you there, Sue, to do that?
I am, and I would be honored.
Great.
Because this is one very powerful couple that's been doing work for many, many years, starting in Boston when they created, I think it was the first or one of the first of the reusable resource centers. So what they're doing is taking collecting the things that businesses would throw away and say, wait a minute, we can use those as educational tools for schools. And so will collect them. And now they have a reusable resource center in Melbourne Beach where they live, and they are one of a very big network of reusable resource centers all over the world. And I was working with the Alachua County Waste Alternatives Program, and that's how I met Walter Drew at a conference where I played with some of these things that were thrown away. And, oh, my gosh, it just was so much fun and simple, and he gave such an elegant, just set the stage and empowers people to play in a wonderful way, and then brings it all together at the end in a debrief or bringing, I don't know what you call that, but where we would just share our learning and experience and see where we can go from here. So I have done that several times with Walter and Kitty in Melbourne, and they have also going there this whole program for it's hands, hearts, and minds, and they are working with people of all ages so that they have most of their work is for the young children, educators of young children. And so it's perfectly suited there. But they're also taking the similar workshops, play shops, to senior centers and working with older folks. And, of course, they work with teachers. And so they have this same basic play formula that they can do with any audience. And it's just such a wonderfully profound, simple thing to do. And the piece that I wanted to add on is that they are, Walter, I guess, is coming into the, is bringing a conference, an international conference, with the Association for the Study of Play. And that opens up such intriguing possibilities to me as we're talking about this sustainable world game with all these universities. And if we can invite educators to learn to play, and let's figure out how we can do the research on these programs that are going out, like the Compassion Games. Is there, and maybe we need to open this up to Summer to just ask, is there any formalized research going on right now with the Compassion Games, or can you see ways that we could set that up with the universities that we're working with? Summer?
Yeah, hi, sorry, I was on mute. So just to clarify the question, so you just, is there research currently being done about universities playing the Compassion Games, or what specifically is the question? I just want to make sure I'm
wondering about, is there any university level study being done on the Compassion Games now, or is that something we can facilitate?
Yeah, so actually the story that I told earlier in the hour about the women's prison, that they're actually, this was there was a woman that, beautiful woman named Leah Mandelbaum, and she actually used the Compassion Games in the stories of working in the prison, and specifically working in schools that, like, very difficult kind of parts of the city of LA, and used it as her dissertation when she was in grad school. And we have, so there has, like, some research that specifically is done around that. And then we also do partner with CCARE, and that is the center at Stanford University that is focuses on compassion as well. Partly yes, but specifically around the university piece, Yeah, I don't know if that specifically answers your question, but I think there's always more room for more research around this and more experiences hands-on of how compassion games, and I think universities have participated as well in the compassion games and has been used in the model of the space of co-opetition that, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different ways I guess I could kind of partly answer this as yes, but also there's more room for more research and experiences to share.
Okay. Well, that this is the kind of thinking that I like for just putting out seed ideas, right? Here's
yeah.
a seed. We need some research. What are the questions we need to be asking? And who are the people that will respond and pick that up and work with it? And so,
well, the first question, Sue, a great invitation, I think, too, to really engage universities and especially in that call to play, the playful spirit of what we're kind of speaking of collaboration and co-opetition, is what university in Florida is the most compassionate, you know? And that playful aspect of, you know, every university, I'm sure any professor or student at any university wants to be at the most compassionate university, right? So
yes.
You can engage alumni, you can engage, but that's that part of it. You've got 16 days to really show your game. And that's, you know, the spirit of call to play and the co-opetitions is, you know, every university, of course, is going to be celebrated in how they participate, but that's that, you know, game on. Like, it's time for us to really rise up in our actions. And
yeah.
what university is the most compassionate in the world? I don't know. We'll have to see in September.
I want to add here that the compassion games is being played in some of the compassionate communities and cities around the world. And the Charter for Compassion, and that's, I guess, charterforcompassion.org, is another really wonderful resource to take a look at. So, yeah, they have compassionate cities, and I think you could tell us probably, Summer, about your the mayor that issued that challenge, right?
Yeah. So actually, I do want to honor a couple different things. So John Raymer, the founder of Compassion Games International, many years ago, there was the Dalai Lama came to visit in Seattle, Washington, and there was a very big compassionate focus of the Dalai Lama's visit, and that really spun this idea at the time. There was a Karen Armstrong who won the TED Prize, and whenever there's a TED Prize win of the TED Talks, they ask the winner, you know, what is a one wish? And her wish was that she wanted to globalize the golden rule. And so that spun the beginning of something called the Charter for Compassion. And at the time, it was just individuals that were affirming and signing the charter. So John Raymer, who is the founder of Compassion Games and also my fiancé as of just the last month, I have to say as well. The love of my life. But anyways, he thought of, well, wouldn't it be great if cities would affirm to be compassionate? Let's take it to the next level. So Seattle, he got enough people to sign from Seattle and got the mayor and the local government involved to have Seattle be the first compassionate city in the world, and then really, you know, put the letter out to different mayors all over the U.S. And there was one particular mayor that really stood out that actually wrote a letter back to Seattle that said, we actually are the most compassionate city in the world, and we're so compassionate that we're going to fly up to Seattle and help you beat us. So at the time, it was really just the beginning of this, the city's campaign. And, you know, this was also around the same time of the Hunger Games. And you know, speaking of reframes of Hunger Games. And so John actually was like, oh, you know, we need to have some kind of platform to see which city is the most compassionate city in the world. At the time, it was just two cities. This was about 5 years ago. And John said, well, we got to have the Compassion Games. And so he started to see that there was something really powerful. He had been involved in, you know, community building and gathering community and doing great initiatives, but always had the trouble of really getting people to engage. And he saw there was something that happened in this magic of the co-opetition. Well, Mayor Fisher from Louisville says they're the most compassionate city in the world. And people in Seattle were like, oh my gosh, how do I get involved? You know, it spun this very powerful, like, catalytic energizer around people getting engaged in, you know, service projects and to get, you know, Seattle to win. So now, 5+ years later, there are over 400 cities and now continents that have also affirmed to be compassionate as well. So the Charter for Compassion is a very, very significant partner in the Compassion Games, because often what cities do is they affirm and then, well, what is it they're going to do? Over time, they can use the Compassion Games to really develop their compassion strength and in certain focuses, you know, ending homelessness for veterans or whatever really is kind of the focus in those different cities. And they can really over time use it as a benchmark playing the Compassion Games. So that is a very big part as well. And the Cities League is really kicking off in September. That's another big piece. There are cities all over the world that are going to be up in their game. So,
yeah. We have two compassionate cities. I'm sorry. We have two compassionate cities here in Florida, and we have friends in compassionate St. Augustine, and we will soon be going down to visit with folks in compassionate Orlando and see how we can work with the schools and communities there.
Oh, I love
wow.
that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
that can be
summer?
A team, you know, is the cities. Mm-hmm.
Nice. Very
yeah.
good. I definitely intend to get involved with that. Maybe in English. I don't know if you've heard of English Florida, but I was, yeah, Crystal River in English. I was just up in that area.
Yeah.
Wow, best wishes.
In London and Manchester. Yes. Yeah.
Best wishes to you, Summer. Wow.
And back to you. We're all in it together.
Yes, yes, and definitely I want to follow you. So are you on Facebook?
Yeah, thank you for asking. So Compassion Games, Survival of the Kindest is the name of our Facebook page. So I would definitely like that, and you'll be notified of we have actually right now weekly live calls that we do on Tuesdays of the really active, energizing the call to play as we move towards September. And we are also partnering, I don't know if any of you have heard of an organization called Unify. They really focus on synchronized global meditations and ceremonies. We're actually partnering with them with the World Peace and Global Unity campaign that the Compassion Games is a part of that goes on till September 24th. So we do a lot with Unify. I would definitely like their page as well. We have a Facebook group, too, for team organizers like Sue and the super teams, all sorts of individuals. That's a great Facebook group, and that's Compassion Games International. So I would strongly suggest coming there, and any initiatives and actions, you can just obviously, you know, share that more than on the Facebook page. So, yeah, and do sign up to play. Like, that's, you know, this is a great opportunity for a place for all of us to amplify and bring shine lights of compassion. Let's all hold the torch together in September. So
we will do that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good.
So we probably have time for, well, yeah, time flies, doesn't it? Can't believe it. been a wonderful show. Maybe we have time for one. Okay. Okay. Go ahead.
And yeah, I would like to. I just want to put out one little thought for everybody listening, that on the site, on the futureflashproject.org site, that's the site that Sue is kind of based on, futureflashproject.org, there is a video called Do the Connected Dance. And it's adorable. It's an animated video, but it also includes clips of people, kids mostly, around the world doing this connected dance. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's really inspiring and really fun and beautiful. And so if you go to the page and you scroll down to Pacha, P-A-C-H-A, Pacha and the Game. So Pacha and the Game has a connected dance that is really fun to listen to watch and to dance with.
Futureflashproject.org.
Yeah, it's a unifying action that's happening around the world among different groups who are doing this dance.
That's so great, and that's such a great example of a compassion game. You know, is doing the dance. You know, a synchronized dance. That is a perfect example of things to report on the Compassion Report Map in September.
And I'd like to add, too, that Dave Room, who is the author of Pacha's Pajamas, which is the foundational book for Pacha and the Game, which I am writing as a collaborative, we are writing it partly today, you know, with this interview. This will be in our story. And so we are telling the story of how Florida came to be a leader. I'm saying that we're a leader. I think what's happening here is tremendously significant. And that how we came to change climate change, basically, so we can, in the year 2050, which is the 50th anniversary of the Earth Charter, we can say, we won. We did it. Priority one of the Sustainable World Game is done. Check. And let's go on to the next, you know. But I feel like we are working all together in wonderful ways now that all of those principles of the Earth Charter are being worked on intensely every day by lots of people with lots of love. And if we can put a little fun and play into it, it will just make it happen faster and happier. So that's my job with the Sustainable World Game and Pacha and the Game.
All right. Oh, we have a couple of minutes. Oh, does someone
want to go ahead? Anything? Well, do you want to go ahead, Francis, and give the future or the upcoming events?
Yes, but I also wanted to take the opportunity to just ask, I know this is going to be pretty quick, you have about a minute if you want to ask a question, to press 1. Anyone who would like to ask, you're also welcome to send or leave comments at the site, which is blogtalkradio.com/soul, S-O-U-L, Purpose Healing. Leave the comments or questions there, and we'll surely get back with you on them.
Okay, 352-262, your mic is open.
Yes, hi. I just wanted, this is Eleanor Bersenio, Neurola, known also as, and I'm a friend of Sue Blythe's, and she's asked me to help her with that story part that she just mentioned. I am so glad that you put me in on this call. My heart is just crying with love for all of you. So much, so much there. I've been a dancer of universal peace and a real active conservationist, and I do have an Airbnb, and I try to tell everybody who walks in my door about it. And just wanted to say yay, and I'm on your team. That's all I wanted to say. And Sue Blythe will put me in on the rest.
Thank you. Beautiful.
Thank you. Well, let me go ahead and make the announcement really quickly, because I know time is of the essence.
this month, as I said, we hold corporate vigils. And when I say corporate vigils, every month we have a prayer vigil, definitely a prayer vigil, and the fasting vigil. So sometimes there are two in a month, whereas one is a fasting vigil, which we had for this month, and the next is the prayer, which is on the 23rd of the month. Anyone that's interested in being a part of that, you can give me a call. That's the 23rd, which is the International Day for the Remembrance of the Slave Trade. And it's abolition. So give me a call if you want to be part of the vigil. That's all over wherever you are in holding that sacred space. We realize that slavery did not end. It has evolved. And we're confronted with the human trafficking, mass incarceration. It goes on. And we have to raise awareness, regardless of whether people want to confront these ills, we will have to. And, the world has changed to where we can't just keep our heads in the sand. We have to confront these issues. So I want you to join me with that. As I said, you can call me. My number, call the number 561-907-6671. This is recorded. You can always listen to all of our shows after the live time has ended, which is about to end now. Oh, and it has. So I want to thank all my guests. Thank you so much, Summer, Sue, and Lenny. And I will definitely check out all the sites. And I'm going to let you have the last word really quickly.
Who are you talking to? Oh, just thank you, everybody. This has been really fascinating. I got all the information down about the Facebook pages. And I am looking forward to connecting with everybody soon, hopefully. And we are all interconnected anyway through all of these organizations and through the web and through our work, our ongoing work. So thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. And hopefully we will be back on. We are premiering a new show. It's called The Glory of Kings.
Male-oriented.
Done?
Hi.
Thank you all for joining us at the end of our show. Have a great week.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.